Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of One Microphone for Two. long time no see. Well, not long time no speak, I guess. It's been 2 weeks since we last released an episode. Last week, unfortunately, we had to cancel because oh my god. Let me get my English back. Okay. We had to cancel because we were really busy, couldn't make our schedules work, me and M. And also, you might have noticed you still haven't heard anything from M, because he's not here this episode. Again, this is gonna be a solo one from me, Sev, your favorite one, of course. M again has been so busy. Sorry, quick interruption. As I was saying, he's been so busy that he cannot even be present this episode. Fortunately, he has had some problems, and I don't believe he's even home right now. So you're just gonna have to listen to me this week. I'll take the reins from now on. Yeah. Okay. So what are we gonna talk about? First of all, I'm going insane. Wow. I too have so much stuff to do. And I know I literally say this every week, but I am sleep deprived. I am going insane. However, it's about to be my birthday. And in a couple of days, I'm going to be 23 years old. And I don't know, man. The fuck? 23 is such a big number, are you kidding? I don't feel 23. Like, I still feel 18, and 18 was 5 years ago, man. 5. I don't know what to do. Every time, you know, it's like that. Every year you look back at what you did in your life. Up to this point, you know? I will look back and say, what did I do that I'm proud of in 22 years, I would say that this year. Of course, every year, it's always just been the same answer, just a plus one on the year, and that it's basically not much, but but you know, it's gonna change. I know it's gonna change. I gotta do something, right? But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty anxious about this. 23, it's... I'm an old man. I'm nearing an old age. I'm done. I've done basically a quarter of my life. A quarter of my life if I'm really lucky. Because it's more like a third. If we're being honest. But yeah, you know, enough about my idiot brain. Questioning too much things. It's also almost time for Easter. Which is, I'm sure you know what it is. It's an holiday, Christian holiday, and it's a national holiday here in Italy. And to me, it's nothing more than a good excuse to eat lamb and to have some off days off from school. But you know, this whole Easter thing got me thinking, got me wanting to talk about my experience and my thoughts. With religion, that's what I'm gonna talk about this episode, and in particular, no, religion in particular with Christianity, Ambrosian Catholic Christianity to be specific, as that's what I've been raised as during my teenage years. In nothing particular, it was just the main one where I was from, which is Northern Italy. Again, I've been raised as one, as a Catholic Christian. I mean, at least there was an attempt to raise me, so, and it's not been the strongest effort so far. I gotta say the results are not are not great. This is beside the point. No, actually, that's kind of the point I'm trying to make. Let's just set the base, right? Let's just say this, that I, at this point in my life, I do not consider myself a Christian or a religious person in any way at all. I think religion divides people more than it unites them. I think just the fact that there are 4,000 religions, like 4,200 religions in this world, defeats the purpose of a... That doesn't defeat the purpose of a religion, but defeats the validity of the concept of a religion, right? It's just not... You cannot have so many of them, right? Come on, they gotta be fabricated. There cannot be 4,200 gods in the sky, you know. Of course, I'm just generalizing. I don't know all of them, but I think you got my point. And also, like, the fact that I am the religion. My religion is what it is, just because I was born where I was born. It's just down to casual, and maybe when I go to heaven, there's no God there, but maybe there's Allah. What do you know? Maybe there's, oh, what's the Jewish one? Yahweh. Well, it's kind of the same, but you know, you cannot be sure of that. But that's just superficial, stupid things that I believe. I'm not a religious person. Okay, that was what I was trying to say. And despite being not a religious person, against religion, I'm very happy I was raised as one religious person, Christian, Catholic. First of all, because main reason, let's say, is that I'm happy and I'm proud of the person I've shaped myself into in all these years, right? And my journey through religion has had an impact of... big impact on who I am today. Of course, being raised like that has certainly given me many experiences and opportunities that have allowed me to become who I am today. So I'm happy I did, and I cannot really say that it was a negative experience. After all, it was that there has been many positive sides. There has been many things. Many fond memories. Many things I enjoy from it. I have many friends who I would consider to be lifelong friends that I've met through my religion, and I've had many, many experiences that I think that are really meaningful for different ways than they should have been, to be fair. But you know, I'm happy I've done that, and also because my motives to not agree with most of what's been said in religion, my motives come from a place of knowledge. My motives comes, I feel like I have experienced enough of it to confidently know that I don't want to be a part of it, particularly, you know, up to this point at least. I've been involved in a religious lifestyle for quite a long time, and I didn't knock it before trying it, right? You know, I tried it and then I knocked it. That was what I was getting to. One thing I do regret about growing up like that is the lack of exposure to other religions or to other points of view, because, you know, that's I would have loved to have known more about other religions, because think that they can be interesting, at to the very least. You don't have to believe in them, and they just have that you can learn something from them though, so they can be interesting. And I haven't really had the chance, and that's gonna change in the future, I know. Italy, that's because Italy is a very conservative place, let's say. Let's start like with a little bit of story time. Italy is a very conservative place, full of very conservative people, full of very old people as well, so that may be a reason. One could also argue that this highly conservativeness, I don't know, well, you got what I'm saying. This is caused by, you know, there's a strong relationship here between religion and culture. They're really, really intertwined with each other, but I don't want to get into that right now. So this permeates in every aspect of our culture, food. We're notoriously food Nazis, to the religion itself, to behaviors of the people. Italians do not like change, do not celebrate difference. They, quite the contrary, they ostracize it. And of course, I'm heavily generalizing right now, right? I mean, there are good people here, of course. I feel like it's a big generalization, but it is a fair one. I feel like I'm not really saying crazy stuff right now. So yeah, just disclaimer. And as a product, me, you know, me being a product of this system, I've been raised in it. I've been raised in a pretty racist, pretty homophobic, pretty, you know, unaccepting of difference, the environment. This was the environment I grew up in and was raised in. I don't know, just a couple of examples. Like whenever I didn't eat in a proper manner, I would get told I was eating like a Zulu, right? You know, because I eat with my hands. Some older members of my family, I remember, used to be pretty worried about me playing when I was a kid with immigrant kids, be they black, be they Middle Eastern, be they Eastern European, or anything else. They wouldn't like that I was doing that. If I said I liked an activity or something that traditionally a girl would like, I would call a faggot. If I didn't dress in a proper manner, I was dressing like a terrone, which is actually pretty interesting. It's a slur, basically, that's used to indicate a people from southern Italy, southern Italian people. Used to be way more offensive as a word, but now it's more accepted now. There used to be a lot more hate between northern and southern Italy. I remember when I was little, there is still a pretty big division, to be fair, between the two, culturally, economically mainly. There's a big difference. North of Italy is way richer than the south. Also, like landscape wise, it's like totally different countries, totally different. Very beautiful, might I add. I remember that there was a whole political party up here in the north dedicated to make Northern Italy its own state, to the independence of Northern Italy from the rest, basically. And there was a lot of hate reciprocated by both parts. By both parts, you know, north and south. And I also grew up in that. And you know, the reasoning for the hate, if you can call it reasoning, you know, is the old reliable, you know, evergreen, timeless. Because southern Italian people, they come here and they steal our jobs, and they're criminals, and they rape our wives, and they do drugs, and they're not really this. And you know, you've heard this before, you know the deal. You know, it's a broken record at this point. Everyone in the history of the world has been called that at one point. Even we Italians have been called that when we were immigrating to America in the 1900s. We used to be those guys. Well, now it's not like that, luckily. And now it's the situation has gotten better. There's still kind of maybe some tension, but not as much as before, because now we get along better. Because now, special thing, the criminals who steal our jobs are not the southern Italians anymore, but are the migrants. How beautiful is that? It's beautiful. We found peace. We found reconciliation. Because we found someone we could hate together. Come on, don't you just love a wholesome ending? Ah, Well, you know, hate unites people, apparently. Moral of the story is as long as people are someone different from themselves to blame, they're happy. No matter if it's true, no matter if it makes sense. As long as there's someone other. That's fine, I guess. Well, this was kind of a tangent. Sorry, I'm just going kind of off the top of my head. But I feel like it's relevant for the point I'm trying to and want to make. So this is just was a quick explanation of the kind of environment I grew up in. And of course, it wasn't all bad. There's been many positive sides of it as well. I'm focusing mainly on the negatives, just for the sake of the arguments. And when I was little, I must admit that I was influenced by this. I found myself agreeing with some of these things. It is with great shame that I admit it, but I was becoming, again, a product of the system I was being brought up. And there was a time in my life I really genuinely believed in God, believed in those terrible things I listed before, which, you know, maybe it's a good thing. It's always good to have been on both sides, as long as you're on the right one at the end of it. And I believe I'm in the right one now. I was pretty convinced. There was a time when I was pretty convinced of this. But then growing up, I've had three great lucks in my life. I've had the great luck of having free access to the internet. the great luck of being able to speak and understand good English from a very young age. And I've had the great luck of never stopping to question things, always questioning things, always asking myself why. And of course, I still do that and I will never stop doing that. And these three things combined expanded my world from a small town in northern Italy to the whole world. I started getting into chat rooms, started getting into YouTube, started getting into the internet, and I discovered the world that was outside of my perception. And with that, I loved it. I really loved it. I spent days and days and probably days of my life literally on that. And with that, I started to resent things I would have previously taken for granted, you know, for correct. And again, with that, I was able to remove myself a little more from my environment, try to look at it from the outside. And in the same people that taught me Christian values, I would look at them. Same people that preach to me love and respect and peace and generosity, which are all Christian values, by the way, basically how to be a good person. In those same people, I saw so much hate and so much dishonesty, resentment, all justified through the belief system, you know, in the name of God. That was kind of the first time that a real word hit me, you know, to see all of this evil that I personally saw it being justified behind what I believed in. You know, this is what I believed in. And I don't know, it just didn't feel right. I think that was the start. That was where I started to get to where I am now. And yeah, it's been really crazy. There's another important moment I recall. And I was either 14 or 15, I don't remember exactly. But, you know, Christian life is every Sunday you go to Mass, okay? Sunday Mass. You just do that, okay? You pray every Sunday. It becomes more like an excuse to see your friends and to take a stroll on a Sunday morning, nice weather, I guess. But I have personally always hated Mass, even when I still believed in it. I never really liked it because it really, really, really makes it look like a cult. He's just standing there with this other bunch of people rhythmically mumbling the same shit over and over and over again. It's anxiety inducing. They look like a bunch of zombies. And man, I don't know, I'm just getting riled up thinking about it. It's just so tedious. It's annoying. It's just bad. I don't like it. And of course, going to mass, I'd be lying if I said that it was all negative again. I get to meet my friends afterwards, go take a stroll. Still, if it was for me, I'd have stopped going by the time I was 10, probably. But then, you know, my mom and my dad basically forced me to go. We had to go as a family. We had to appear as a good family, you know. You know how that appearance is everything. My mom's specifically is also really religious, so she'd get really mad if I said I didn't want to go, or I tried to avoid going. In fact, it took 17 years of my life before I came out to my mom as a non-believer. this is fucking insane. It might sound trivial, right? But you have to contextualize. Okay, again, English back. But if you contextualize it, it was a pretty big deal, right? I mean, my mom was really, really believing in this, and she always told me that she raised me to be a Christian, and she raised me to be a certain way, and I wasn't being that, which already I think is super wrong, but you know, to each their own, I guess. And I basically told her, you know, I just said to my mom, listen, I don't believe in God. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think I'm going to come to mass anymore. I'll keep doing all of my volunteering stuff through the church because I actually enjoyed that. And, but I never, I don't believe it. I'm sorry. And of course, being the Christian that she was, she was accepting of the fact that I, you know, had come to my own conclusions. She was happy that I didn't take it at face value, happy that I made a significant effort to try and understand it and internalize it, and had the courage of coming up to her and saying this, you know. Even if I had come to disagree with it at the end, I had done all that I could do to try and understand it, you know? Does that sound right to you? Nah, JK. She got super mad and didn't talk to me for a week. So, yeah, nice. Before of this coming out moment where I was allowed to... Well, I didn't go to mass anymore. I just used to sneak out during the mass. I just say to my mom I was going to sit in the front together with my friends and just get out of the secondary entrance. And behind the church, our church, there was a tiny, tiny garden in the back. And it was really beautiful, right? Tiny garden, a little altar of the Virgin Mary. Peaceful. It was so peaceful. And I remember the sun would just always shine in a beautiful way through the trees. And I still go back there when I can, because it's I have many fond memories there. And so I would just stay there silent for like 45 minutes to an hour, however much the mass took. And enjoy the silence, enjoy the nature, enjoy the solitude. And it really was one of my favorite parts about my week. I would look forward to go and spend some time alone there in my little corner. And one time, I remember, a priest passed by. He knew me because I was pretty involved in the whole church thing. And he approached me and we just chatted a little bit. He asked me, you know, what I was doing. I said I was
skipping mass and praying on my own, which I wasn't. I mean, I was skipping mass, I wasn't praying on my own. Or maybe I was just praying directly to God. I don't know. He got mad. He got not that much. He got slightly mad, and he just, you know, told me to go back and follow the mass. And I was there. I remember I asked him, you know, why should I go back into that church? I'm in such harmony right now. I'm in such peace. I can for sure feel God's presence out here way more than I could in there, right? I feel like this is the case. Like, what do churches even do? And what's their purpose? And to my surprise, he actually sat down and we struck up a conversation and was like, whoa, are you open to talking about things? The fuck? Amazing. And so he just explained to me that, you know, in this view, this Christian view, I should be a good person in the name of God. And this is all about values. And some people are still dishonest. And you know, there are good Christians and there are bad Christians, just like there are good people and bad people, of which, of course, I agree with. It's totally normal. And then I remember, I'm asking him why. And this is a question I ask you to anyone. I ask to anyone who's listening, and if you know how to give me an answer on this, because that dude didn't know. Like, why do we need churches? Like the building itself, right? When he asked this, he told me that we need churches to make other men see the majesty of God, okay? But like, have you ever looked at a mountain? You know? Have you ever stepped in nature? Have you ever looked at a sunset? Have you ever looked in took a walk in a forest during a sunrise? Dude, what's more majestic than nature, than what God has created for us to use? I don't get it. And so, like, what if for me, if I was the Pope, which you never know, maybe I will be, I would just make people have a mass outside in beautiful nature. If you wanna make God happy, don't build churches, build parks. PSA. Well, this is just a thing, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we keep destroying nature, but that's what God is, right? That's what God gave us. I don't know. Well, it was just a nice moment, nothing more than that. It was just, but I really remember it because it was the first time that I really could confront with someone about it, and I'm very happy I did. And another thing that I remember is doing volunteering work for the church, or like Sunday school. Yeah, that's what it's called, Sunday school. I used to teach Sunday school, which if you knew me right now, it wouldn't make that much sense. And I used to try to sneak in something that I shouldn't have told. Nothing bad, of course, but yeah, I remember sometimes I just had to stay there, like, and seriously tell this 13-year-old kids to not masturbate because it's against the will of God. And dude, come on, like, what do you expect me to say? Oh my God. Oh God! Well, these are fun memories. I had a lot of fun with that, and honestly, these are really, I really formed my character, these things, and I'm really happy for that. But you know, sometimes it was just too fucking funny. Well, let me just also tell you about the most Christian man I've ever met. Most Christian man I've ever met. His name was Jerry. Okay. He was Nigerian, and there was a supermarket two blocks from my house. There still is, actually, but you know, I don't live there anymore. And he always used to be out there, outside of a supermarket, begging for some money. And he just hang out there and asking for money, and he was really, really Christian. He used to preach, like he used to stand outside there and preach the word of God to anyone. And I really loved him for it. Like, he really, at least he was coherent, right? At least he was really believing it, and he wanted other people to do it. And I know many people who would never do that and consider themselves a very, very Christian. And you know, I used to get him some food. I kind of became friends with him over time. Every time I went to the supermarket, I used to get him whatever he needed, you know, outside of actual money, because you know, you can never be sure that the money we give to these people will actually be going to them. So yeah, PSA, don't give money to beggars. Give them goods, give them what they need, don't give them money. But yeah, this is beside the point. But damn, he was really religious, and I really loved this guy. I used to bring him, like, yeah, food or anything else, or like flyers for application for jobs, because he was looking for a job. And every time we talked about, he was always bring out the fact that I was a gift from God, God has sent me to him to help me, because I was one of the few ones that actually talked to him and helped him and tried to help him. And I was like, you know, Jerry, I think you should just help yourself. God didn't send me. I sent myself here to talk with you because I think you're a nice guy. And he would just tell me, oh no, you know, you need to have faith. You cannot say like that. How do you not believe in God? And man, the passion really gets me. The people who are passionate about anything, you're gonna convince me. Well, not convince me, but you're gonna interest me. We ended up also sharing phone numbers at some point, and I swear, for a brief period, like probably 3 or 4 weeks, every day, this dude would text me, believe in God, believe in Jesus, may your soul be saved, things like that. Every day he kept doing that, and you know, I didn't mind it. But yeah, I really believe that was the most Christian person I've ever met, and he would have been the last man I would have assumed to say that about, you know. It's incredible. I know many, many, many people, again, who are not as good Christians as he is. And probably I can guarantee you this being in Italy, that 95% of the people that ignored him and that didn't, you know, maybe they didn't respond to him, that ignored him, that treated him badly, were churchgoers. I can pretty much assure you that, because that's how it is in Italy. And you know, after all these considerations, after all these thoughts that, you know, I didn't even tell too much now in this podcast, because you know, it's years and years of thinking and years of struggling and stuff like that. I decided that, you know, I'd just be a I'm just going to be a good person, right? I'm not going to be a good person in the name of anyone. I'm going to be a good person in the name of greater good. If I was a good enough person to go to heaven, right? And I was denied entry just because I didn't do what I did in the name of God, whichever of the 4,200 gods there are, then I don't want in. What kind of God is that? I think I'm way more Christian than many, many Christians. But, you know. Ooh. Well, that was a conclusion. Nice one. I really enjoyed that. I think it really was helpful. Ah. I hope you did as well. I just rambled for 37 minutes now. And hopefully next week we'll be able to be together, me and Em, again. And thank you for listening. If you got up to this point, feel free to follow us on Anchor, on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Overbean, Podbean, and everywhere it's available. Feel free to share with your friends. Instagram, our Instagram is 1mic42, all with numbers. And yeah, I don't know. Have a nice day. I'm not gonna do the outro because I hate it, and Em is not here, so yeah, fuck off. And okay, now you know me a little bit more than before. Bye. Have a nice one.